It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate you. We are an independent voice. We look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism is not about free stuff. It ultimately comes down to force. And I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, for all of your support, your great work, as well as all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday and happy anniversary of the Gettysburg Address Day, producer Steve.
Oh, well played. You covered that well. My first thought was, I just, you know, four words come to mind. Let's go, Brandon. No, I'm sorry. TGIF. So, yes, you covered it well. Thank you.
Okay. And thrilled to have in studio with me, Alan Thomas. He is an author, he's a speaker, and he's written a very important piece. We'll roll that out this weekend in the newsletter, The Civil War of Ideas, which is so appropriate, Alan, on this day, this broadcast that we're doing for November 19th, which is the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. Great to have you in studio.
Thanks again for having me, Ken. Excited to be here.
You always put such thought into these op-eds, and you always challenge me. And this is no exception, so we'll really delve into that in segments 3 and 4. And a couple of other things just to let you know. This weekend, 3 o'clock on America's Veteran Stories, we will be rebroadcasting the interview that we did with Marine Vietnam veteran pilot, and that is Nellie Paylor. And again, a great interview, producer Steve.
It is. I'm giving something away too soon here, but this weekend and next weekend, I let the cat out of the bag. They're rebroadcast, but two very exquisite, and that's probably not the best term. What's the word about a pilot? They are so articulate and precise, and you're going
to
hear that in both of these guys.
Yes, definitely. So be sure and check that out. And there are 3 different America's Veteran Stories broadcasts on the weekend. The weekly one is at 3 p.m., and then there is another one from a different time that's replayed at 10 o'clock on Sunday night, and then one at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And again, these are very important interviews. It's important that we get them, broadcast them, and archive them, and it is a great honor to get to do that. Alan Thomas, since it is the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, I thought it appropriate that we, it's short, right?
It's real short.
I thought I'd go ahead and give the first part of it here, and then we'll finish up the show with it as well because it is so short. And just to confirm, you probably know this, 4 score is 20 years, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So on November 19th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered remarks, which later became known as the Gettysburg Address. And it was the official dedication ceremony for the National Cemetery of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, which was the site of the bloodiest and most decisive of the battles of the Civil War. Though he was not the featured orator that day, Lincoln's brief address would be remembered as one of the most important speeches in American history. In it, he invoked the principles of human equality contained in the Declaration of Independence and connected the sacrifices of the Civil War with the desire for a new birth of freedom, as well as the all-important preservation of the Union created in 1776 and its ideal of self-government. And this is what he said. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. Alan Thomas, wow.
I mean, when you asked me to write about it and I took the time to reread it, because, you know, everybody knows Four Score and everybody just gets hung up on Four Score and
7 years ago.
7 years ago. But, man, just that first sentence, just so articulate and precise, to borrow what Steve was saying, he really did cut right to the quick and get right to the point, didn't he?
He did. And Zach, my media guy, he challenges me when I'm writing copy to say all that I'm to say, but as in as few words as possible. And to take this and put it in, what is it, like 276 words or something like that, isn't it? It's very,
really
very
quick,
short.
Yeah.
And producer Steve, speaking of Gettysburg, you grew up in Pennsylvania. And we are doing these broadcasts that we'll be broadcasting next week, which are very special broadcasts for Thanksgiving week, which that is actually going to enable you to be with family, and you are going to go to Gettysburg.
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, that's true. And, I grew up in Pennsylvania, but as a kid, you know, I left at the ripe age of 19 to go into the Air Force, but in those younger years, I had no real deep appreciation for Gettysburg. I knew where it was. I knew, you know, what happened there. But it's only through, you know, advancing into the decades of life that I really, really understand everything that happened there and what was really at stake.
Well, and we've had some amazing guests regarding Lincoln over time that I have learned so much about. And one of the stories, and I had heard this from Thomas Kranewitter, but that Lincoln's dad basically abandoned him and his little sister in the middle of, I think it was either an Illinois or Kentucky winter for like 3 months to go, and his father went to go find a new wife because Lincoln's mother had passed on. And they survived. And it's just remarkable to me that you can go from there to the Gettysburg Address. It's just something remarkable.
It really is amazing what all these, you know, giants in history really did. I don't think you could study Lincoln or George Washington enough, just what they did when they had this absolute power at their hands and how they were so committed to these principles and ideas. It really is amazing.
Well, and we are in a great time, I feel, right now, Alan, where we are working to reclaim those ideas. And you talk about this in your piece that you've done, A Civil War of Ideas. And really, I'm thrilled to be able to talk about this on this anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And we'll do that a little bit later. Before we get into the show anymore, I just wanted to make an announcement. And we talked with Karen Levine about this yesterday. And her realtor group, the DeVito Dreammakers, are having an annual Christmas customer appreciation event. And they have always great response on this, but Karen has reserved 3 spots for listeners of my show if you would like to take your children to visit Santa. And it will be on Saturday, December 11th, 10 a.m. to noon. And there will be pictures with Santa, face painting, an artist, coffee, cookies, goodies, and more. So there are 3 spots, first come, first serve. If you are interested, reach out to Karen. Her number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. And make your reservation. And again, that is for the first 3 people that reach out to Karen to do that. And we're going to go to break here in just a minute. But before we do that, one of my great sponsors of both the shows is Hooters Restaurants. As we're coming into Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all that is a good time to get together with friends. And you can watch your pocketbook depending on when you go to Hooters, because they have lunch specials and happy hour specials Monday through Friday. And so be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break, but I do get to work with a lot of great sponsors. And before we go to break, on the line with me is Steve Cruz. He is a co-owner with Mary Alpers of Three Points Financial, which is a great new partner of the Kim Munson Show. And they're very unique. They are a fee-only financial planning firm, and they're able to help with tax planning and investments as well as retirement planning. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Glad to be here.
Steve, with Biden just signing this big spending bill, and there's all kinds of taxes in there, and quite frankly, if you legally cannot pay taxes, that's more money in your pocket, and you can help people with that, correct, Steve?
Yes, and that's one way to save some money on taxes is by giving it away to somebody besides the government. They'll give you a break for doing that. But yeah, there's a lot of spending, and not as much on the personal tax side in this specific bill, but we're still monitoring a lot of the potential changes that they're discussing that would impact on the personal side, things like raising tax brackets, things like raising the top capital gains rates, and some instances even getting rid of the more preferential capital gains treatment for people of higher incomes and pushing them into the higher ordinary income tax rate. So those are some things that are still on the table, not a part of this infrastructure package. Something that I think people need to be aware of with some of the big spending bills is a little bit of a it's an invisible tax, although it's not really that invisible, and that's inflation. And then the potential for continued inflation. And that's really a tax on everybody.
Well, it really is. And we've talked about it on the show a lot. There's really two kinds of inflation. There is inflation that if an economy is really humming and people are working and there's more demand for products and services, that is a healthy inflation. What we're looking at right now is a government-induced inflation. And the inflation numbers that are coming out are just unbelievable, Steve. And this is really difficult for people as they're planning. So certainly sitting down with you and Mary to talk about this, I think, is really important. And you guys are unique. You are a fee-only financial planning firm. So you sit down, get to know people. That initial consultation is kind of a get to know each other and see if you want to work together. And there's no charge for that, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
And we try to really act in at all times in our client's best interest. And so we take a look at their situation and we try to point them in the best direction for them and do the best thing for them.
Well, and financial independence is it's very freeing to have financial independence on that. How can people reach you, Steve?
Yes, the best way is visiting our website, www.threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com. And there's a schedule a call button right there on the contact us page. And we'll get something on the calendar and go from there.
Okay, perfect. And that's Steve Cruz with threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com. Steve, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. 158 years ago today, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address, and it's one of the most important speeches in our American history. Alan Thomas, speaker, writer, is in studio, and you've written a very important op-ed, Civil War of Ideas.
Yes, ma'am. Excited to talk about a nation conceived in liberty, which I think goes pretty well with your next guest, right?
I think so. So let's jump over here. Leslie Hollywood is on the line, and she is a political activist, and she is putting together a rally for this Saturday. And Leslie Hollywood, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me on.
So tell us what you're going to be doing tomorrow.
So we are tomorrow on Saturday, so the November 20th, we are doing a rally called No Jabs for Jobs. And this is going to be along Thornton Parkway, just off I-25 from 1 to 3 p.m. And we are just trying to find get down there where it's a very high visibility area and line the streets with signs and flags and people and just really let the public know that there is a lot of controversy around all of these government mandates that are coming down surrounding vaccines, especially in exchange for a job. And yesterday, or the other day, OSHA suspended their rule that they were going to implement next month, requiring large employers to force their employees to be vaccinated. What people need to know about that is that it does not impact any private companies that have government contracts. Those people are still being forced to be vaccinated by December 8th or be terminated. And those people don't even have the option to test weekly, which was in the OSHA rule. So this rally we're doing tomorrow is really in response to that. I'm working with a couple of gals who are actually going to lose their job December 8th. One of them is pregnant and has no choice but to be vaccinated or terminated and lose her health insurance. So that's what we've got going on. There's a website set up for it. It's nojabsforjobscolorado.com, where there's a lot more information about parking and just the location, and really hoping to get a good turnout for this.
Well, and the weather looks like it will be cooperating. I think it's going to be a high of 52, which is great for November. So just put on a jacket and some gloves. And we've gone from, I cannot believe this, Leslie Hollywood, we've gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to if you don't get the jab, you could lose your job. And this is really coercion. And my friends, you have to realize that if people want to get the vaccine, certainly they should have the choice to do that. We're talking about freedom. But when there's this force and coercion, that is a big problem. And I know people that have chosen to get the vaccine, but they surely don't like this whole mandate stuff, Leslie.
Absolutely. I can tell you we're going to be joined by many people who are vaccinated, and one, they want to stand up for their fellow citizens who are being put in these terrible positions. And they also, they have some really big concerns about privacy. The fact that we have to hand over our medical records to our employers, I mean, it is really just unreal that what is happening, like you said, 2 weeks to flatten the curve to now you're pregnant, and if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to lose your job and lose your health insurance that's paying for prenatal care. It makes me literally sick to my stomach. I cannot believe that we are in this position in this country, and this doesn't affect me personally, but it affects so many people I know, and that's why I'm organizing this rally, is that we have to stand up for each other, and this isn't about the vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine. This is about the government overreach and the force and the coercion that is happening, that people have to choose between a medical treatment and their livelihoods. I've just never even seen anything like it in this country.
Well, Leslie, I have not either. And my friends, you need to remember this. First of all, there is over a 99% recovery rate, and that is with the data that the CDC and these different health departments are using. And we know that they're cooking the books on that. We have proof that that's the case. So first of all, there is a great recovery rate on this. This makes no allowances for people that have gotten COVID and have the antibodies. And that doesn't seem reasonable. Now, I don't know all this about the vaccine or whatever, but this is about tyrannical force. That is what this really is about, Leslie. And so it is great that you are organizing this rally. Again, how can people get more information about it?
So more information can be found at nojabsforjobscolorado.com. And again, this is 1 to 3 p.m. tomorrow on Saturday, November 20th, along Thornton Parkway. And if you get off Thornton Parkway, go east. There's actually a big row of government buildings right there with tons of parking. So just park up there, walk down to the street, bring signs, bring flags, bring your friends, and definitely bring your passion. And even if you can't come, just drive by and give a honk and let people know that you support them. This is such an important issue.
Well, Leslie Hollywood, thank you so much for letting us know about this.
Yes, and thank you for the time.
Well, and I also, before we get to break, I want to just acknowledge that I work with such great partners. On the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. They are the owners of the family-owned business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they are sponsors of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I can't believe that December is right around the corner. Thanksgiving is next week. And what is happening at Castlegate Knife and Tool?
Yeah, we've been spending several months ramping up, obviously, for the big shopping season and the holidays. But one of the big things is that we just opened up a pop-up store in downtown Castle Rock at the Mercantile, right in downtown Castle Rock. And we have a huge selection of kitchen-related items there and locally made knives and accessories. We have carving sets, steak knife sets, cutting boards, these beautiful cutting boards that are handmade here in Colorado, a wide range of kitchen knives, both American-made, Japanese-made, German-made, as well as accessories like handmade cleavers and Ula choppers and things like that. So I guess in addition to that, we probably have over 100 different outdoor knives in that store too. So we actually have a new really largely stocked up location in right in downtown Castle Rock, for those of you in Castle Rock that are listening. And of course, all of those items are also in our store in downtown Sedalia as well.
I love that you are expanding, particularly during this this holiday shopping season for Christmas and for Hanukkah. And there's something about a good steak knife set or good knives in the kitchen. It is something that it is an investment, but it's an investment for a lifetime, really, Hal.
Yeah, and the stuff, that's exactly right. And you've been one of our best customers, I'll have to say, not only buying for yourself, but buying gifts. They make great gifts, too, in terms of like steak knife sets and carving sets, etc. But yeah, it is an investment. The stuff that we make and the stuff that we sell is made to be an heirloom item. It's made to be something that you can use for your lifetime and then hand down to your kids if you want to do that. So it is an investment. It makes your life easier. It makes your cooking more enjoyable. It's safer. A sharp knife is a safe knife. So it's all good.
Well, and a couple of things. So speaking of that, I have been invited to a number of different weddings. And so what I've done is given some beautiful steak knife sets. And the brides and grooms have really, really appreciated that. But if somebody does have a knife that they love, but it's getting a little dull, you also have a sharpening service, which, again, you shouldn't trust your knives to just anybody if you're going to get them sharpened. And your technician really takes his time on that.
Yeah, we have trained knife sharpening technicians that use the best state-of-the-art equipment that we could buy anywhere to hand sharpen your blades. We have whetstones. We have hand sharpening tools. If you have really exotic steel, we've got diamond sharpening steels that we can use. Every blade is sharpened by hand, and that's in our Sedalia store. And you can also order that or check that out on our website, as well as all of the items I just talked about are not only in our main store in Sedalia, in our pop-up store in Castle Rock, but also on our website at castlegate.com.
And again, that's castlegate.com. And Hal, as we are reflecting, moving into Thanksgiving week, I am so grateful that you and Linnea are partners of both of the shows. I greatly appreciate you, and I wish a very happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate it very much, and we're grateful for the partnership and the relationship as well.
Well, thanks, Hal Van Herky, and we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Excited to have in studio with me Alan Thomas. He is a writer, he's an author, a speaker, and writes op-eds for us, which I love. And this one is Civil War of Ideas. And we just had Leslie Hollywood on, and I never believe that we would be in such a divisive time here in 2021 America. Alan, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's what progressives want to do. You know, progressives win when they divide people into groups and pit those groups against each other. And they're really good at it. It's always very sensational language, right? We care about the community. This is all about, you know, for the safety of the community, when really it's a lion in sheep's clothing, right? You talk about safety for the community, but hey, you're going to get this or else, you know, or else you'll lose your job, or else we're not going to treat you at a hospital, or else we're not going to give you monoclonal treatments, you know, and if you just see all this force and all of this, we're going to treat you as inferior to us because we have the moral high ground and we've gotten a vaccine. And it just begs the question, where does that end? Where does that moral high ground end? Does it end with political ideology matching up with yours? Because that's really what they say. That's what we've really seen through the Trump presidency through now is if you don't think like us and you don't believe like us, you're a bad person.
You're speaking of progressives.
Progressives, yes. Yeah. You don't like African Americans. You agree that slavery was a great thing. If you think the founding fathers wrote a good Declaration of Independence, you know, they really like to divide us. And you know, I know it's a jab now, I know it was 2 weeks back then, I know it was wearing a mask in a business, you know, months ago. Where does this end? And that's the question we're really asking. That's why we're really against it, whether we want to get the vaccine or not. It's a good question to ask, and we need to force people to answer that question before they start telling us what to do with our bodies.
Well, and Alan, we are celebrating the 158th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And producer Steve, I understand it was pretty cold that day. Did you have your coat on then?
Well, you would know because you were standing right next to me.
Bada boom. But 158 years ago today, Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And the country was so divided then. And then, as you've mentioned, progressives, and there's nothing progressive about dividing people. But they use the battle of the narrative, the battle of the words. Progress sounds good. Progressives, used to sound good until we really understood what that defines. And that defines, instead of moving forward, it's actually moving back to tyranny. And tyranny has been the thing, one man over another, has been the norm for humankind. So when the founders step forward and say that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and then Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address talks about reclaiming that, it's a pretty astounding American thing, Alan Thomas.
It is astounding. And it's really ironic, too, that we're talking about progressives now, because the Civil War basically was the impetus for the progressive movement, right? They looked at the Civil War and said, all this death, destruction, how is this country good? We need to change something about this country. And now we're here 158 years after this address, basically fighting the same battle of, was this country founded in a good idea? Is this idea that a nation conceived in liberty, that all men and women are created equal, was that a good thing? And they have a point. You know, when you look at the Civil War, when you look at slavery, when you look at Japanese American internment camps during World War II, when you look at the Trail of Tears, we do have some big blights on our record of, no, America did not do good things then. You know, government power was abused, but the question I think they fail to ask is, why are those bad things? Why was the Trail of Tears a terrible thing? And it's because we weren't holding ourselves up to this ideal of treating all American citizens with their individual rights. You know, if you treat a Native American as if they're an American citizen, do you pick them up out of their homes and move them and ship them to Oklahoma, and where many of them die along the way? No, of course not. Does slavery happen if you treat every human being as if they're equal? Of course it doesn't. And every instance where America has failed, it's failed because we haven't lived up to this ideal of treating everyone equally. And that's kind of where we have the moral high ground, is we can say, no, you know, America, when the Constitution was written, did not uphold this ideal. But that shouldn't stop us from shooting towards that goal. That shouldn't stop us from steering the boat towards treating each other as if we are equal humans, and we all have rights to our bodies and our property and our minds and the products that we make with our hands. We should aim towards that. And just because we've fallen short of that many times throughout our history doesn't mean that that's a bad principle and that's a bad idea to go towards. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Those were bad events and bad ideas because we didn't devote ourselves towards that principle as a country and as presidents and as a people.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, we need to make sure people understand that when America was founded, slavery was prevalent throughout the world. And actually, there is still slavery in this world. And so it is a concept almost from the beginning of mankind. So to have this little group of 13 colonies, these men get together and pen something, this ideal that says all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that was radical then. Nobody else had done it. As much as quote-unquote progressives like to throw stones at the founders, no other country ever, ever had come up with this idea. And they're not honest when they don't acknowledge that, Alan Thomas.
And they're also not honest when they don't study history and know that was one of the biggest talking points at the Constitutional Convention. That was a big sticking point between the northern states and southern states. I mean, that's why the Three-Fifths Compromise was in, is because we were at a standstill. We were already at a civil war before we were even a country of, should this even be allowed? And, you know, the Federalist Papers makes this argument perfectly, you know, with the Three-Fifths Compromise. How can you say that's three-fifths of a person? How is that even possible? You're basically admitting that it's a person without giving them full rights. And so, you know, even from the beginning, many of the founding fathers saw that this issue was going to come up, and they punted the ball on it because they knew, we're not going to be a country if we don't unite and get rid of Britain. You know, if we're not one country, this whole American experiment is going to fail from the very beginning.
We can't even talk about this.
We're not going to have a constitution because we won't be a country. We will still be individual colonies of Britain. So, there's sacrifices that you have to make. You know, if you live in a perfect world, of course, I would have rather them written a constitution that got rid of slavery right away. But, you know, we paid our penance with the Civil War. And I don't think the progressives really understand, or liberals or anyone who disagrees with this, understand how much death and destruction America went through the Civil War. It was at an unbelievable level, just in our backyards and all around them.
Well, a couple of things on that. First of all, when you talk about death and destruction, one of our guests had mentioned that it was over 50,000 Confederate and Union soldiers that died that day. So that would be like taking, like, people at Coors Field or, Bronco Stadium, I can't remember how much, but, you know, a big stadium, and all those people would be dead in a battle. I mean, that's pretty, pretty remarkable. The other thing, and let's unpack this three-fifths thing just a little bit, because I think it's important. Those that want to denigrate the American idea say that the founders said that blacks were three-fifths of a man. That's not the case. They came to this compromise because as they were trying to figure out the House of Representatives, how many representatives there would be, and the House of Representatives is based on population. Well, the South at that time wanted to count slaves towards their population. And the North said, well, wait a minute, they're not free and they're not voting, so you can't count them as population.
And actually, your laws treat them like property. Like, you know, a lot of the laws down in the South, you know, if you go out and you shoot somebody's cow, well, you have to pay to replace the cow. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the laws were the same way if you shot a slave. You had to pay to replace the slave. So the Northern founding fathers were like, hey, you treat them like property. Why are you counting them like men for this House of Representatives?
And to that made it difficult for those from the South, because tacitly they are acknowledging that they are men with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So there was this big battle. So it was a compromise. And then the other thing is, in the Constitution, when they got to the Constitution, they did outlaw the importation of new slaves, which seemed like a good idea, although when you limit supply, it increased the value. So it took 87 years, but let's take 87 years to get to this this Gettysburg Address. And you think about all the history of mankind, and it's pretty remarkable what these Americans did. So we're not perfect, but my gosh, to denigrate this idea is dishonest.
It's incredibly dishonest because, like you said, you know, the whole premise behind it is that you're agreeing with it. The whole reason slavery is bad is because this idea is perfect. You know, this idea of treating each other equally and to protect our rights is a perfect idea, and it upholds itself logically in any way you cut it. You know, humans and human nature are imperfect. So our implementation of it, yes, it's been imperfect throughout time and throughout history. And you know what? I've probably not treated everyone equally myself, but that doesn't mean that the idea and the goal isn't perfect.
Right. And so that's a North Star for us to continue to pursue. And then where we are now in 2021 America, I never would have believed it. We had Leslie on just recently. It's gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve, which I'm like, okay, we don't know what this is. Okay, we can all figure it out. But then when it got to force masks, take your temperature before you could go to church or a variety of, you know, go anywhere.
Can't go to church.
Government saying who's essential, who's not. And those things that you just mentioned, the internment of the Japanese in World War II, the Trail of Tears, slavery, the Jim Crow laws, that was all government that was doing that. That was government. And so here we have government again through coercion. Biden says, I'm not mandating, but then he says, hey, OSHA, wink, wink, you need to put out an edict on this. That is coercion, and that is force there. Your thoughts on that, Alan?
I mean, when you look even beyond American history, when you look at global history, where are all of the the terrible consequences of human life and suffering coming from. And you can point pretty clearly at government force, abuse of government force. I mean,
you say Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to keep going? I mean, it's literally all the way down. The Holocaust, you have what's been happening with women in Iran and Iraq and in the Middle East.
The Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs out in China now. Mm-hmm. You know, what's happening in Hong Kong and all of the strife that they're going through because China wants to force them to appeal to their rule now. You know, all of it happens because of this abuse of power, because human nature hasn't failed itself for thousands of years, and it won't fail itself for thousands more. Is when you have this government force in power, there are going to be those that want to use and abuse it. So what is the best way to do it? It's to shackle it down. It's to bind that government power so it can't be used poorly against other citizens, or even, you know, to take their lives, to take their property, to take their livelihoods, to treat them differently, to intern them, to use them as slaves. When you bind that government power down, that's the only way that we can succeed as a nation and as humankind, really, because all of these abuses, all of this suffering happens because people want to use power to their own benefit, not to the benefit of everyone. And that's why socialism doesn't work. That's why Marx didn't have a good understanding. It's because we have a fundamental difference of what human nature actually is. And we're right about human nature. It's been proved throughout the course of human events. And there's a nice pie in the sky idea that doesn't work.
I came up with the term that a lot of people get hurt on the road to utopia.
But
we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about this piece that you've done, Civil War of Ideas. And we're doing this on the anniversary, the 158th anniversary of when Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. Before we do that, though, I have great sponsors that sponsor this show, this independent voice there. And one of those is Kirsch Insurance Group, and they specialize in Medicare. Now, once again, government, can you believe this, Alan? They say that you can make changes to your Medicare plan for 2022 only between October 15th and December 7th. And if you don't and you have a surprise in 2022, you're out of luck until the next time. And so you don't want to let that happen to you. You want to know what's going on out there. So check with Kirsch Insurance Group. That's Marlon Kirsch, Danielle, Naomi, the whole team over there. Doesn't cost anything. You can do it. A phone appointment, or you can meet in person, but you need to get that done as soon as possible because December 7th is right around the corner. So check out iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com, that's iKirsch.com, and we'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
His truth is marching.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter because you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. He is an author. He's a speaker. And this is the 158th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, when Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And you've written a piece, Civil War of Ideas. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, Kim, I, again, talking about the irony of things today, I suppose, we're filling up about 30 minutes of the show talking about a speech that takes about 2 minutes to read. And, you know, on that day, Everett gave a 2-hour speech before Lincoln, a 2-hour address. And
Edward Everett, right?
Edward Everett, yeah. And or Evan, yeah. Everett, sorry, I just know his last name, Everett.
Okay.
Yes, so afterwards, when he came up to Lincoln, I think either he said it or he wrote it to him, he said, "I should be glad I could flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes." So I just found that kind of funny that I have a 500-word article about 250-word address, and we're talking about it for 30 minutes now. And you know, that was the brilliance of Lincoln, the way he could unpack these ideas in the pithiness of what he wrote to just cut to the heart of the issue, the heart of the principle of this, that we have a difference of idea of what equal rights means, and we're fighting a war over it. But then I appreciate there at the end how he says we need to have a rebirth of freedom. This idea that we need to, you know, come again once more and birth a new life. And with that comes, you know what, we can acknowledge our past, but we're just going to start new. We're going to begin again. We're going to educate ourselves. We're going to agree to this principle, this idea of freedom and liberty, and we're just going to start over. And it really is a shame that, you know, for many more reasons, that President Lincoln was assassinated, because the way he approached this war, both before and after, was one of unity. Was one he never wanted to fight this war. He knew it was going to be a terrible war. And even afterwards, when he was trying to reconcile with the Southern states after they had won the war, he really approached it with such grace that, again, it's one of those what ifs in history. Like, what if this would have happened? What if Lincoln would have seen this through? How much closer we could have been as a country, and how much more quickly could we have moved on from this without having these grudges that will happen because of war and death and grief. So I like this idea of having a rebirth, and it comes from coming together and stop fighting and you know, really explore these ideas and treat each other equally. Not treat it as if I know I'm right, I know you're wrong, you need to agree with me. It's really a one of, you know what, let's come together and let's explore this. Let's gain some civic knowledge. Let's talk about these ideas, and let's not just agree to disagree. Let's not always disagree. Let's talk about this, and let's talk about how wonderful freedom is.
Well, and we, I think Reagan said something along the line, as freedom isn't passed down to us. Each generation needs to fight for that. And we are in quite a fight for the American idea right now. And in some ways, it's a little more insidious, I think, now than back in 1861, 62, 63, 4, 5. And that is tyranny is clothing itself in saying that it cares about people and cares about others. And I remember early on in this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, I was driving down I-25. Of course, there was hardly anybody on the road. I was coming over to the station. And it said something along the line, wear a mask to protect others. And I thought, oh, wear a mask, save a life. That's what it was. Wear a mask, mm-hmm. save a life. So the implication is, if you don't wear a mask, you want to kill people. That is, and a lot of people bought into that. And that is really insidious to try to divide people like that, Alan Thomas.
Well, in one word I always like to use is haughty. You know, this idea of viewing yourself as above someone else. And that's really what it says, right? You know, wear a mask, save a life. I'm a better person if I wear a mask, and you're not a good person if you don't. And this idea of treating each other as if there's pedestals, and, you know, I can gain, you know, if I wear a mask and I double mask and I double vax and I make sure and I get my COVID test before I go to any family events, well, I must be 5 rungs up on the ladder and you're still standing on the ground, and I must be a better person than you. It's it's dishonest to ourselves to act as if we don't have skeletons in the closet, as if, you know, we can do these outward things and make ourselves better. And it's not that I want to expose other people's skeletons. I don't want to know why you're bad or what evil things you've done in your life. But at the same time, we've all done them. We've all lied. We've all done something we shouldn't have. So don't act as if you're better than me because of that. That doesn't make your argument better. And that's really one thing the Founding Fathers, when they were crafting this, is they said you need to have a citizenry that respects reason over passion. This idea that, you know, it is very emotional. That's why they use emotional language. Hey, be a good person, save grandma. That's a very emotional, very passionate argument, mm-hmm. as opposed to using reason and saying, okay, I'm going to put all these facts in front of you, and now you have the choice about what mm-hmm. you're going to do with your life, what you're going to do with your family, who's going to come and see you for mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, who's not going to. You need to make a reasoned, logical argument.
You mean like over 99% of the people that contract COVID survive, and many of those that have passed on are elderly and have comorbidities? Or would it be the part about the efficacy, if you've gotten the vaccine, is gone down significantly? In fact, I know a number of people that have gotten the vaccine that have gotten COVID. Is like, how does that work? And so a reasoned argument by looking at those things. I just needed to put that in there.
It is. And you look at past vaccines, you know, the polio vaccine, how many they had over a decade of research before they said, oh, wait, we may need to do things a little bit different for this. So it's not a bad thing to have caution. You know, that it's very human too. You know, there's all different types of personality types. You know, you have the ISTJs and you have the Enneagrams, and you know, there's so many different ways to outline different personalities. There's risk takers. There's those that don't like any risk at all. You know, having a one size fits all approach takes humanness out of all of us. You know, we need to respect the fact that, you know, some of us are going to jump on board to new things. You know, there's the risk takers. There's the ones that they have all the new technology. They're going base jumping. They're going to do all this. If they want to take the vaccine and that's good for them, then great. There's also those that are like, you know what? I want to take the vaccine because heaven forbid I actually get it, or heaven forbid I pass it on to a grandparent, or heaven forbid I do this, that, or the other. I can respect that. You know, I can say that's your decision. That's how you want to live your life. I can respect that. Just please respect me and the fact that I might be different than you. I might have a different idea. I might have a different thought process. I might have a different way that I live my life. And we need to come back to that mutual respect, because when you have haughtiness towards each other, when you view each other as one above another, you're not respecting each other. You're not respecting the fact that we all have one life to live and we're trying to do the best of it that we can. You're trying to take decisions away from us and take our life away from us, and that's not a moral thing to do at all.
Well, it isn't. And again, taking a reasoned approach and looking at all of the data out there. And the thing about it is we're seeing more light shone upon the data. And once you start to see PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are not being straight with us on the data or on the narrative, it's like, okay, you lie to me once, shame on you. You lie to me twice, shame on me. And but then again, couching this, and I COVID is a thing. We know it's a thing. And but what I see the real danger is on this is the tyranny, the despotism, the dividing, the grab at power. And we've seen PBIs that have taken power through this quote-unquote crisis, and they don't want to give it back. And that's where we're at right now, hence your op-ed.
And you look at it even farther than that. When you look at history, you know, right now it's vaccine passports. Well, you know, I'm not going to compare this to the Holocaust at all. But at the same time, you got to look at the Holocaust and say, hey, look what they did. They controlled the narrative. They alienated an entire population. They forced them to be different. You know,
put them in a group.
Put them in a group, alienate them. And then what happened? And it, you know, I hope it never gets to that point. I sincerely do. I hope we never have another Holocaust. I hope we never have any sort of division like that again. But at the same time, you have to look at the patterns and you have to say, this is what happened in the past. Why are we doing it the same now? And when you embrace this idea of liberty, you don't have that. You don't have that division. You don't have that labeling of different groups, because we're all human. We're all supposed to be treated equally with our individual rights. So you can't divide like that.
For sure. For sure. Alan, it's always so great when you're in studio. We've got a couple of minutes left. How do you want to button this up? And I encourage people to sign up for our newsletter, and then the op-ed will be on our website as well. How do you want to button this up?
You know, I find it interesting, because we're going into the Thanksgiving season, that the official Thanksgiving proclamation was actually made the same year,
I know,
a month prior to this Gettysburg Address. And I found it interesting, too, because Seward actually wrote the Thanksgiving Proclamation, even though Lincoln signed it. And it was very interesting reading both of those side by side, because when you read the Thanksgiving Proclamation, there's a lot of talk about the war and the Union, you know, specifying the North versus the South. And a lot of time is spent talking about that in the Thanksgiving Proclamation. Whereas here in the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln doesn't necessarily divide. He doesn't blame the South. He doesn't use divisive language. He really just holds true to his principles and his ideas and eloquently states those. And so I would just say to your listeners and to everyone, use principles, use ideas. Don't try and lay blame on people. You know, it's not helpful to say you're responsible for all this tyranny because you did this, you did that. Instead, go back to your principles, go back to liberty, and lay out the case that way, because it's more unifying, it's more persuasive, and you'll get so much farther trying to educate people and give them the civic knowledge of why liberty is such an amazing idea and why this American experiment is a good thing. And hopefully, as we're about to read, hopefully it won't perish.
Alan Thomas, you are wise beyond your years.
Well, thank you, Kim, and thanks for having me in.
It's always great to have you. And so we're going to finish the show today with the rest of the Gettysburg Address. And Lincoln said this: "But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember, what we say here. But it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and then a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from this earth." Alan Thomas, very important words. And I would also recommend for people to do a web search for the song, The Last Full Measure of Devotion. It is absolutely beautiful as we think about those that have sacrificed their lives for an ideal that is much bigger than just each and every one of us. So, Alan Thomas, I so appreciate you being in studio. I wish a very happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
And to you and yours as well.
Okay. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America, and a very blessed Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't say